Well, I didn't do an outline on the board. I forgot all about it. The what is this part number? This would be 27. Part number 27 of our studies in Genesis, and we're still in chapter 11. We covered the first 9 verses last week, and it was talking about the building of the Tower of Babel, with Nimrod, of course, being the founder of that place. The Bible tells us that Nimrod was in this area. And we saw that the people, they had one language, and they had started building that tower and exalting themselves above God. And so God came down to visit them and scattered them. He changed their language so that the Bible says he confounded their language so that they would not understand each other and not able to communicate. So, and because of that, they scattered all over the place. Well, as they start scattering, they're going westward from where they're at, because all these folks descended, of course, from Noah's family. And so he is over in the eastern section. And so they start descending over and migrating over into the western part of the world, which eventually we get down in where we know is the land of Canaan and all that, this area of Iran, Iraq. They started up here probably around in the southern part of Turkey, and start migrating down this way. And of course, all this is, we call it the Holy Land, with Jerusalem and Israel, all this in this area. And so they're slowly going that way. And then we pick up this morning looking at the rest of the chapter, which is genealogies. And please don't be bored over these. We've already covered a lot of genealogies there in chapter 10. Mainly we were looking at Noah's other two sons, which branched off into different nations. We read off which one became which, and I believe it was Japheth's line that became the Gentiles. The Bible referred to them as being the Isle of Gentiles. And we saw where they occupied much of the, like Russia and Germany and that area up in there. And then we had the other line come from his other son, Canaan. And we saw where that's where the land of Canaan actually came from, and that that race of people. But it didn't mention a whole lot about Shem's genealogy. We was given a little bit of information. But Shem is going to be the key patriarch, I guess you could call it, of the race of people the Bible is going to place focus upon from here on out. And so it's very important that we see these names and try to get an understanding of these. And we're going to look at some of the timeline that took place and some of the important things here and some of the people that the Bible mentions. This line that we're going to look at here in Genesis 11, 10 through 32, you can find these same genealogies over in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. Gives you the genealogy starting with Adam, going all the way down to Abraham. At Abraham, it's chapter verse 27 of chapter 1 of 1 Chronicles. And then it goes from Abraham to his sons and then carries on down. But the same line of people you'll see there. And so from Abram to Abraham, from Adam to Noah, and then to eventually Abram. Abraham is what we call him now, is what God changed his name to, Father of Many Nations. So if you remember, when we studied in Genesis chapter 3, we were talking about when, after the sin entered into the world, and God placed a curse, of course, upon the serpent, and upon man, upon the land, and all this. And there was one certain thing that he did concerning the serpent. It's in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He said this to the serpent. He said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall be a it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, we've already studied that part, and we talked about what that meant. And, of course, speaking about the Lord Jesus, that's what it's pointing to. And so from Genesis chapter 3, there's always that promise that God is going to send someone, the seed of the woman, which, of course, is referring to the Messiah of Christ. Now, it says that the serpent will bruise his heel. That's simply he's going to be able to intervene and try to do things to disrupt God's plan And the only thing he's going to be able to do is to, of course, Jesus will be crucified on the cross, but he will rise again after death. So, but the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. And so we know that the Lord is going to reign and rule triumphant over Satan. Already is, but ultimately, Satan, of course, will be cast in the lake of fire. But let's go back to our text here. Genesis 11, starting at verse 10. Genesis 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Salah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Salah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. All right, so we're gonna finish out the rest of this chapter, but I'm going to take a pause right here. So we've got to where Moses, being the human penman here, God inspiring Moses what to write, his emphasis is going to be on this bloodline, and so he's quickly going to where he's trying to get to. He's trying to get to Abram. And so there's a pause right here, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So we have the three brothers here. There's three sons born to Terah, in which God's going to use this line from Abram. And so then he picks up in verse 27 with this. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sariah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child, and Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai and his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right, so lots of names thrown at us, lots of information that we have right here, lots of the words and names that are difficult for us to pronounce because they're not English names. But as Moses is pointing us to, ultimately, he's getting us to Abram, but ultimately he's getting us to Jesus is where he's getting us. The whole book, the whole Bible is the story of Jesus. That's what the whole Bible's about. And so while there's key figures, like Abraham's a key figure, Moses is a key figure, Adam's a key figure, Joseph is, Jacob is, all these names that we see in the Bible are key figures in the history of God's plan for redemption. The whole Bible is one long string revealing to us Jesus. He's the focus and the main point of God's Word. And so this is where Moses takes us. So in verse 10, we'll just go over a few of these names until we can get down to where Moses is trying to get us. Verse 10, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And so we looked at those generations of Noah's other two sons, Japheth and Ham, 2 weeks ago, and we looked at chapter 10. But Shem, it did not mention a whole lot about him in chapter 10 because it's reserving it for this time. And we'll see lots of other things mentioned about Shem as we go. But the importance that the Bible placed on it when we looked at chapter 10 and verse 21 of Shem, it said, unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. And we talked about how from that line is where the the Jewish race come from, the Hebrews, the Semites. They came from Shem, which his name is spelled S-E-M, Sem. And the term Hebrew comes from Eber. So the Bible emphasized that Shem was the father of the children of Eber. So you can trace the Hebrews back to that man Shem, and because he's the father of the sons of Eber, the children of Eber, it says. And so this is where we get the term Semite from. And here in chapter 11, verse 10, we see more information about Shem and his line. It says he was 100 years old when he begat Arphaxad. Now, we're told over in Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, when the Bible gives us these ages like this, like it says Noah was 500 when he had these three sons, we know that he didn't have those three sons all on the same day or even the same year. And so there was time in between there. So you can't just say, well, Noah was exactly 500. When it uses a term like 500, he was 500. It's in the general area of being 500. Like you could say somebody's in their 30s. Well, they could be 31, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They could be any of those. But you could still just say they're in their 30s. Well, this is similar to that. Saying Noah's in his 500s. He's 500 years old. And so whether or not the first son that he had, Japheth, whether or not he was exactly 500 years old, maybe he had him on his birthday, I don't know. But, you know, that's all we have to go by. And so we have to make assumptions and try to get some type of timeline. Now, we know the Bible tells us Noah was 600 when he went on the ark. Is that right? Is that what it was? Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So yeah, he was 600 when the flood came. And so he was 500, the Bible says, when he had these three sons. Well, 500 and something. So some times passed in there. And approximately 100 years goes by between the times that he has these sons and the time that the flood occurs. However, we're told that Shem is 100 years old when he begets Arphaxad, and that's after the flood. And so this goes to show you that Noah might have been 570 or something around that time when he had Shem instead of exactly 500, because several years has passed by and the flood occurs, and Shem's 100 when he has his first son. Of course, that doesn't mean, you know, all this was exactly on Noah's birthday or anything like that. So let's just say that Noah had Shem when he's, let's say, 502. Well, we're told that Noah was 600 when he entered the ark. Genesis 7 and 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And here in verse 10 of our text, it says Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So we can get kind of a general timeline. The flood was approximately around the year 1656. And so that's leading up, of course, to Christ, but the year 1656. All right, let's go to verse 11 before I confuse anybody else, including myself. Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, notice that the emphasis now is going to be on begetting people. In the genealogies in chapter 10, it was all about how old they were. While it is going to give us some of their ages, the more emphasis is placed upon who they begat. And so it's important that we're able to trace the bloodline through the people that the Bible mentions. Now, the Jews are going to use this throughout all their history. Remember, we called it the Table of Nations when we studied that in chapter 10. And this is how the Jews are able to understand their genealogy, their bloodline, who they descended from. And so they can trace all that. And this is the only source, the Bible is the only source where they can get that. Now, there's other men that's wrote certain things, like Josephus. We've talked about him several times, the Jewish writer, historian. He wrote that great book. I've got it in my study. It's about this thick. It has all this Jewish history, and it lines up with the Bible very, very well. And they can use certain things like that. But again, most of that is based off of what God's Word says. And so this is how they get their history. And it'll be here in First Chronicles. We'll find it, all those chronicles. The chronicles means it's the chronology of the descendants of the Jews. And so that's how they trace their line. So it's begetting people. So it's tracing this from Abram's line all the way down, starting from Adam. And so let me read you these real quick. Try to keep up. Adam begat Seth. Seth begat Enosh. Enosh begat Kenan. Kenan begat Mahalalel. Mahalalel begat Jared. Jared begat Enoch. Enoch begat Methuselah. Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech begat Noah. And Noah begat Shem. And Shem begat Arphaxad. And Arphaxad begat Shelah. And Shelah begat Eber. And Eber begat Peleg. And Peleg begat Reu. And Reu begat Serug. And Serug begat Nahor. Nahor begat Terah. And Terah begat Abram. So that is the straight line all the way down to Abraham. And I've got each one of these referenced. If you want those references, it's chapter 5 and 10 and 11 on down. So we get that information. All right, now look at verse 12. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Salah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, there's not very much information about Arphaxad in the scripture. He's mentioned only in the genealogies in Genesis and 1 Chronicles. But nowhere else in the Bible do you find his name mentioned. So we don't know a lot about him, except for that he was the son of Shem. And at 35 years old, he had a son, and his name was Salah. And he died when he was 438 years old. Verse 14, and Salah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Salah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. We also don't know much about this man, Salah, other than he had a son named Eber, and he lived 433 years. And Eber is, of course, another one of those people in the Bible that is another key figure that we need to know about. Verse 16 starts with his line, and Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. So here we get to Eber, the founder of the Hebrew race. He was also called Heber. If you look in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 3 and verse 35, there it calls him Heber. It says, which was the son of Sarek, which was the son of Raga, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Salah. So Luke 3 and 35, you'll find his name mentioned as Heber. We find in the book of Numbers, there's a people called Heberites. Now, we're used to the term Hebrews when we talk about that line of people. But they also were called Heberites. You find that in Numbers 26 and 45. It says, of the sons of Beri, of Heber, the family of Heberites, of Malkiel, and family of Malkielites. So, that name Eber, it means one who crosses over. Let me put that down so we remember this. This is important. Elizabeth, you didn't remind me to write an outline. I blame you. What's the last verse in Genesis 11,
32.
32, okay. Let's just call this Shem's generation. Let's see. So we're talking about Eber. Also called Heber. So from that we get Heberites and also Hebrews. The term Eber or Heber means one who crosses over. At work, we have a big digital monitor up, and I can type all this stuff without having to write it. I have to do that in here sometime. All right, so Eber, Heber, Heberites, Hebrews, one who crosses over. From the other side. That's what that means. One who crosses over from the other side. Now, we've mentioned several times already that the word Hebrew is first in relation to Abraham. He's the first person the Bible mentions of being a Hebrew, and that's in Genesis 14 and 13. Well, so that that term or the word Hebrew, meaning one who crossed over from the other side, is referring to Abraham who crossed over from the other side of the river Euphrates. Remember, he was brought up in the land of his nativity was the Ur of the Chaldees. That's where he was born and raised at until he was approximately, 70 years old. And so at 70 years old, God calls him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and him and his father and all those travel, which we're going to look at in a minute, they travel toward Canaan, but they don't quite get there. They stop in Haran, as we just read in our opening text. So they stop in Haran, and they have a delay of 5 years before God again calls Abram out of Haran to go into Canaan. And so there's a delay, and we're going to talk about that in a minute and explain that, why that happened. And so they crossed over. Abraham crossed over from the Euphrates over into the land of Canaan, and therefore he was called an Heberite or a Hebrew. And so these next five generations, we're going to read all these together, verses 18 through 26. They will finally bring us to Terah, the father of Abraham. All these people we're fixing to mention again, we've already read it, but we're going to read it again. We don't have much information about them at all until we get to Terah. They're just kind of just names thrown out there Moses gives us to try to get us to Abraham. And so let's look at it. Verse 18, and Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. All right, so I know I read that fast. I'm not meaning any disrespect at all. I was just getting through those. I've read this so many times that it's emblazoned on my mind. I probably could have done that without even looking at it. But these names, while they don't seem very important to us, they are important to the Jew. And they're important enough for the Lord to include them in his word. So it's interesting that when we get to Terah, we find that he's pretty old before he has any children. It says he lived 70 years before he begat any of these sons. Now, up before him, the time period after the flood, we saw that men were younger when they started having children. I know it said that, what's his name, Shem, was 100 when he had Arphaxad. But after that, men were younger when they started having children. That big long list of people we just mentioned, they were mostly in their 30s. There were some in 20s, there were some in 30s and such. But here when we get to Terah, he's 70 years old before he has any children. Interesting enough, it's his son Abram who's in his 90s before he has children. And so if you look back through there, on the average, the men were in their 30s and had children until we get to Terah. But we also are going to start seeing that men are dying sooner than they used to. After the flood, we see the ages start dwindling off and men are dying younger and younger and younger until eventually get to where we are today. Without the medicine advances we have today, disease killed people. They didn't have blood pressure medicine. If we didn't have blood pressure medicine, I would have died when I was 25 years old. So, I've been on blood pressure medicine ever since then. And so we take medicine to keep going. There's people today that are living longer and longer and longer. And that lady I mentioned to you, her last name was Warwick, she was 101 years old. She belonged to Emory Pike, American Christian Church. But she was 101 years old. And that's, it's being common nowadays. People are able to live because of the advances in medicine. You can go to the doctor and they give you something, take care of it. You know, if you've got some kind of blood problem, they give you a thinner, they can give you something to thicken it. They can, they can control your blood pressure and all this. Sometimes they can control your blood pressure. But men are going to start dying younger. Terah was 205 when he died. And so it's just interesting to me. Look at verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. Okay, now we see the generations of Terah. Abraham was, of course, the most notable of Terah's three sons. We don't know hardly anything about Nahor other than he was the father of Lot. And we'll be discussing Lot more as we in the future when we start looking at the life of Abraham. And, of course, we all know Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot goes to. And he becomes a key figure. Abraham was born approximately 490 years after the flood. If you go through all those lines and generations, you'll find it's about 490 years after the flood. Verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. For whatever reason, Haran dies early. Don't know how old he was. The Bible doesn't say, but he dies before his father dies. And he dies while they're still in the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Abram, we know, was 70 when he was called out of there, out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And so Haran must have died very early. His daughters, or at least one of them, is going to marry one of his brothers. We're going to see that. And so he dies before his father Terah, it says, in the land of his nativity. So he died back in the Ur of the Chaldees. He didn't die in Haran, and he didn't die in Canaan. He didn't go to Canaan. But he leaves behind his son Lot and his two daughters. One's daughter's name's Milcah, one's Iscah, and they're both mentioned in the next verse. But here we are also told that this family began, like I said, in the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, this is what we now call southern Iraq. And it's in the same area as Shinar or Shinar, in that Mesopotamian Valley. One day I'll say that right. And that's where they built the Tower of Babel. So that is the land that Abraham was raised in from as a child, in the land of idolatry, where they worshiped the moon and they worshiped the sun. They didn't worship God in that place. They worshiped false gods. In fact, this verse right here gives you a little insight. Joshua 24:2 says this. Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. See that? Terah served other gods. He's part of that. Terah brought his son Abraham up under other gods. They worshiped the moon, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the stars, they worshiped the land, they worshiped animals, they worshiped all these things. And so that's what Abraham come from. And we always think about Abraham, of course, being the great patriarch. You know, he's the one that God, you know, sent to the land of Canaan, and everybody descended from him, all the Jews and all this stuff. And he's a great man. But up until he's 70 years old, he worshiped false gods. And so let that sink in a little bit. You can see how God can take somebody despite what they're in, and he can change them, change their heart. Abram's had to change everything he knows, the way his way of living, his way of worship, what he believes. He changes all that when God calls him. And so God changed his life. It took some doing for Abraham to become the man of God that he needed to be. Verse 29. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the names of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. So here we're told that Abram took his wife, whose name was Sarai, and she'll later be renamed to Sarah by the Lord. Now notice that Abram's brother Nahor married his other brother's daughter Milcah. So he married his niece. Me and Mary was discussing this a little bit last night about all the different ways that people did during that time period. I mean, you have people having multiple wives, they married from their own families. Lots of things that today are forbidden, a lot of things that we, of course, know that it's not how it needs to be. You also have to bear in mind that Abraham lived 400 years before God instituted the law. And so, as I told Mary last night, it was kind of like the wild, wild west in those days. They were doing all kinds of things. And also, bear in mind that they were living in a land of idolatry. They were not God worshipers. Not the God, Lord God Jehovah worshipers. They were other God worshipers. So there was no kind of morality or anything there for them to base what they did upon. And so marrying their daughter or marrying their niece or marrying their uncle or whatever, they didn't have anything else to go by because they were brought up under idolatry. Now, this goes to show you also how things deteriorated from the time of Shem, because Shem was a good man. And that line, we know God blessed it, and on down through there, but these people migrated off into the land of idolatry and took up those practices. And so the godly influence had already been kind of destroyed. They still had a history of it there, but they were not godly people. They were not. And so they did a lot of things that we know were wrong, but God doesn't hide that from us. Haran's other daughter mentioned too, Iscah. Now, we don't know hardly anything about her, and if you read a lot of commentaries, you're going to find there's a lot of men with a lot of ideas out there that don't really fit, but yet they keep pushing these ideas. And so other men pick up on those. And so you'll read one old commentary that will tell you that, oh, Iscah is the same person as Sarai, Abram's wife. And so he married his brother's other daughter. And that gets carried on to other people, and they pick that up and state it as a fact. That's not what the Bible says. Nowhere in here does the Bible say that Iscah was Sarai. In fact, we're going to find that Scripture actually refutes that, because Abraham is going to claim that to Abimelech that Sarah is his sister, just not his mother. They don't have the same mother. They got the same father, but they don't have the same mother. Genesis 20 and 10 through 12, that's where that comes from. It says, "And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou? That thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And he says this, And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife." And so I believe that kind of refutes the fact or the claim that some men make that the other daughter, Iscah, is the same person as Sarah, because the Bible says that she was Terah's daughter. Is anybody getting confused yet? Another thing that may throw you off is that it says that Terah took his daughter-in-law, referring to Sarai. We're going to see that down in verse 31. That Terah took his daughter-in-law. It doesn't say his daughter. But anyway, where did I stop off at? Verse 29? Yeah. And so this is giving us some information about who they married and such. And so Abraham and Sarah were brothers and sisters. They had the same father, Terah, but they had two different mothers. Obviously, Terah's first wife either passed away, or it doesn't mention him having two wives, but he did, because he had a daughter by another woman than he did his son, Abram. All right, verse 30. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And it seems odd that that's just thrown in there. It's like Moses says, I'm going to throw in this little tidbit of information for you right here, because we're going to come back to it later. Because this is going to be very important in a later time. So this statement right here, it's kind of like a post-it note, you know. Take note of this. Sometimes when I'm studying, I'll make little notes to remember to go back to something. If I know I'm studying something, I'll say, I need to remember that right there. And so at work, I've got a sticky notepad, and I'll write down something, and I'll stick it on there so that when I come to it, I'll go back to that. That's kind of what this is. It's like a sticky note Moses has put in there saying that you need to remember this. Sarah was barren. She had no child. Most likely, Milcah probably did have children. It doesn't talk about them. But she probably had no problems having children. So we know this is going to probably cause some kind of inner conflict in the family. The family was very close, obviously, because they traveled together. They lived together. And so no doubt it was one of those problems a lot like Jacob's wives had. You know, one could have children and the other one couldn't. And so there was always this contention going on. Probably happening here too. Causing a lot of stress. All right, verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Sometimes it's confusing because some of the words, like they go to a place called Haran, but yet he had a son named Haran, but they're both spelled the same way in our English Bible, but they're pronounced differently. These verses that we just read seem to confuse some people because it talks about Terah taking the family. They're headed to Canaan, is where they're going. That's what the Bible says. They're to go into the land of Canaan. That's where their intentions was to go. But it says that Terah took them. Well, we know it was God that called Abram out. It didn't say that he called Terah out. But yet Terah is the one that's mentioned as taking him. Well, let me give you the simple reason for that. Terah is the patriarch. And so when Moses is giving us this information, he's just paying the proper authority to the patriarch and showing that how they moved together, placing his name there. So he took all the family. And so Abram is around 70 years old. He's 70 years old at this point right here. But that's why it's mentioned that he's done that. So this moving from the Ur of the Chaldees is because Abram had the call of God upon him. And so Abram, from all indications, he has convinced his father that this is what they need to do. I don't know if Terah was now, going to worship God like Abram's going to and is and going to be obedient to him. But he's obviously going to go to Canaan. Why other reason would he leave there? Why would he leave the land of his nativity? Why would he leave the Ur of the Chaldees except for any reason? Because there was a specific reason. Abram's been called to go there. And so they all go, the whole family. Ironically enough, the name Terah means delayed, is what his name means. And the name Haran means parched or barren. I believe that has something to do with what we're finding here. All right, so bear with me. God calls Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. Abram convinces his father Terah that's what they need to do. They pack up everything like the Beverly Hillbillies, and they start heading over to Canaan, toward Canaan. They don't make it. They stop. They stop in Haran. Haran is not where God called Abram to go. He called him to go to Canaan. But they stop here. And you know how long they're there? They're there 5 years. So there is a 5-year delay in God's plan for Abram. And I believe it to be because of the fact that God called Abram. He didn't call these other people. He didn't call Lot. He didn't call Terah. He didn't call all this other entourage that goes with them. He called Abram. So that would be Abram and his wife is who's supposed to go. But yet the whole family packs up and starts moving there. And I believe that's why God has caused them to delay. And Terah dies in the land of Haran. There's a 5-year period before God again calls Abram out of the land of Haran. As we see, there was that in the next chapter, isn't it? Chapter 12. Yeah, look at chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee. I'll make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse thee, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. See that? He was in Haran. So he'd been waiting around there for 5 years before he went and did what he's supposed to do. God tells him, hey, leave your father's house. That's what he said. Don't bring your father's house along. But he brings Lot. That may be some of the problems that he's going to see later on as well. And so Abraham is now 75 years old when God calls him out of Haran. And so he spends 5 years delaying. His father's name, Terah, meant delay. Haran meant barren. Now, we know when Abram does get over to where he's going, he's going to go to the land of Canaan. He's not going to settle down immediately. He's going to be kind of a nomad at that point. And until he finally will settle down when him and Lot have to separate. But you remember when him and Lot separate, they have gained so much wealth and so much cattle and so many people now that there's not room for both of them to be together. Where do you think they made all that wealth at? Back in Haran. In that 5-year period, he was able to prosper there and get rich. I don't know what he did, but he's gotten rich, and now he's moved off into this other land and bringing all his substance, and he's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so these men made some money and did some things back in Haran during that time, obviously. All right, let's stop there. We've only got 5 minutes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for our Sunday school lesson. I pray it's been helpful. Pray now, God, that you go with us upstairs. And Lord, if there's anybody that has a need today, I pray, Lord, that need gets met. Help us in the singing. Help us in the testifying. Help us in the preaching. Lord, may we give you the glory for everything today. Thank you, Father, for this day to congregate together in this privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.